you can feel the bass. It's super deep. Well, I don't know about you. I'm excited about tomorrow. I've heard reports that there's a million people already hanging out over at the park. So we're going to do our very best to find a good spot to meet together and hang out. So we're going to have a good time tomorrow. But welcome. Welcome to New Heart this morning. I'm so glad you're here. I know sometimes on a holiday weekend, we have a lot of families that go out of town. So you are the faithful. You are the ones that hung around and hung out with us. So thank you for joining us this morning. This morning, we continue our series. We're actually finishing our series. If you have a Bible, I'm going to have you pull your Bibles out. If you have a Bible app, you can pull that out as well. It's okay to pull out your phone as long as you're not playing Angry Birds and you're looking at them. Just kidding. No, I'm serious, but I'm kidding. Now, how many of you believe that as we gather together in the name of Jesus, that God is in this place, that God meets us here? How many of you guys believe that today? Can you say yes? Amen. All right. Good. Well, God is here today, and as we come to God's word, I want to begin by preparing ourselves, because this is more than just a book. In fact, we're talking about the Bible and its importance in our life today, but the Bible is so much more important than just a book with words and pages and letters. This is God's word. And so before we even open it up this morning, I want to prepare ourselves to receive a word from God. Because when God is here in the house and we open up God's word, he is available to speak to us. How many of you guys believe that today? So let's open our hearts and prepare ourselves to receive a word from God. Father, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for our freedom, the freedom that we have in this nation to worship, that we can gather together in the name of Jesus Christ without fear of persecution. God, we give you thanks for that. And God, we thank you that we are free to praise you and we are free to approach you, because you have set us free by the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we open up your word, we invite you, Holy Spirit of God, to speak a word to us that will change our lives forever. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So we are right at the very end of a series that we've been in for about 7 weeks. It feels like it's gone by in a snap, for me at least. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, no. But we've been in this series called We Are, looking at the identity of who God has made us to be and looking at some of the core values as a church that we hold dear. And we've been looking at this big idea. If you're taking notes, this is the first one, is that God wants to use the whole people of God to share the whole gospel with the whole world. In other words, God not only wants us to be whole, but he wants to use all of us with our differences. He wants to use people with different personalities and perspectives, different leanings and tendencies to express and demonstrate the fullness of who he is to the world. And it's going to take all of us to represent the fullness of God, because God is much greater than we are. His personality is much bigger than ours. And we've looked at a key scripture from the book of Ephesians that's given us kind of the roadmap on how these gifts are represented. And we've looked at these fivefold gifts that God has given us from Ephesians chapter 4. You can go ahead and put that on the screen. I want you guys to read aloud with me, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Can you guys read with me today? You guys feeling it? Okay, ready? Go. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Whew, you did it. You guys sound good. You guys read that well. It's such a mouthful, but this big idea that God has given us these fivefold gifts, we call the apes gift, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers among us, to equip us, to raise us up, to grow us up, to be all that God has called us to be. Because we need those things. And over the last many weeks, we've looked at how our apostles, they compel us to keep the gospel central in all that we do. How they compel us to multiply our influence and our effectiveness in our city and through our community groups and other areas in our lives. We've looked at how our prophets among us, they fill us with faith. They call us to believe that God is still available to do the miraculous and to live lives led by the Spirit of God and empowered by God's Spirit. We looked at how our evangelists inspire us to believe And they inspire us to not only find our place in God's story, but invite others to the party. Because God's throwing a party and the whole world's invited. But it's our job just to simply say, hey, would you come to the party? God's going to be there. It's going to be great. And last week we looked at our shepherds and how our shepherds encourage us to thrive by connecting us in community where we can be loved and love others, where we can care for people and be cared for ourselves. And God has called us to accept people right as they are. And this morning we get to our final gift, the gift of our teachers. And our teachers equip us for the journey of faith that we have in front of us, because we're all in a journey. We're all in a journey of faith walking with Jesus. When Jesus called to the first disciples, he said, come, follow me. He gave them this idea that this would be a journey of faith, and our teachers equip us and challenge us to go deep in our thing, in our faith, and deep in our knowledge. They challenge us to drink deeply of God's word, that we might encounter the God who inhabits the pages of Scripture with his presence, that God's word is spoken and is alive. See, we are drawn into the deep things of God by our teachers. And I love about a good teacher, and I know we've got some teachers that teach not God's word, but just teach in the world. And what I love about a good teacher is that they can take complex things and break them down. They can make things that are difficult, simple to understand. And that's what the teachers among us do as well. See, we're drawn to those deep things. Here's the deal, guys. God wants you to go deep in your faith. He wants you to go deep in your relationship with him. And our teachers draw us out into the deep things of God. They compel us and encourage us to go deep in our relationship with God, to go deep in our understanding of God and his ways and what he's like. See, there's many things that our teachers do to equip us in our faith with God, in the deep knowledge and experience. But this morning, I want to share just two ways that our teachers equip us for the journey of faith that's in front of us all. And they're two of our final core values. The first is this, that we are biblical. That we are biblical. And what does it mean? The Bible is God's word, useful for teaching. And as a church, all we teach and believe about God is built on the firm foundation of the Bible. We're committed to teaching in culturally relevant ways while remaining faithful to the unchanging truth of Scripture. See, there's no greater book, no greater teacher in all the world than God's Word. If you want to understand about who God is and what he's like, look nowhere else but God's Word, because it's there you'll encounter the living God. Now, as many of you know, I read out of the English Standard Version Bible, and I looked in the introduction to the ESV Bible this week, and it says this. In fact, if you have a Bible, would you hold it in your hand? I want you to hold your Bible in your hand. And Bible, that's a righteous iPhone with a Bible on it. Hold your Bible. What you hold in your hands right now is a supernatural book. The words of this book, the Bible, are not merely human words. Instead, these are God's own words. His own personal revelation of himself to us. Here in the Bible, we encounter God and come to know his amazing love for us. Friends, that's the truth. This is more than a book. This is where we encounter the living and true God. This is where we encounter God. See, there's lots of great stories in this world. How many of you guys love a great story? You love to see a good movie with a great, compelling story that draws you in. We all long for those great stories. And some stories are great. Some people have great ideas about God and great ideas about the world. Some are really dumb, as you know. But there's men and women throughout the world that have their own ideas about who God is and what he's like. If you want to encounter them, just go on Facebook. You'll find lots of them. But if you really want to know who God is and what he's like, we've got to come to this book. We've got to come to the pages of Scripture, because it's here that God clearly reveals to us who he is and what he's like. We've got to drink deeply of the wisdom of God that's contained in the pages of Scripture. See, God has chosen to reveal some of his character and nature to us through the pages of Scripture. I like to imagine that I couldn't contain all of the fullness of who God is in my human mind. So God has only revealed some of who he is to us as mere mortals. But the reality is that this book is the full revelation of who God is and what he's like. There's no pope or religious leader or other man or woman alive that can add to the pages of this book as some of our cult leaders try to do. This is the full revelation of God. And that doesn't mean that we can't have experiences. And this is the tension that our teachers and our prophets and our different focuses we talk about, because part of our core value is that we're a story-formed people. We believe that God has a story to tell in our lives, that we're joining in God's story. But we also believe that our story doesn't add to or change the pages of Scripture, that it's just firm foundation. Now, God wants us to have experiences. There's nothing more powerful in your life than the story of what God has done. But my story of what God has done can never and should never supersede the authority of God's word in my life. You say, well, but God, I feel like God is calling me to do this thing, but his word says the opposite. Well, you're hearing him wrong. You're misjudging God. See, here's the deal. God's word is finished, but his word is still speaking. And the question is not God's word speaking? The question is, will you listen? Will you open God's word and hear from him? Because his word is finished, but it's still speaking. You say, but how can that be? How many of you guys believe that, by the way, that his word is still speaking? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. I like it when you say amen. You guys sound good. Get some gospel. See, I love a good story. I love, you know, a good C.S. Lewis. I love a Shakespeare. But let me tell you something. Those authors, they're dead. I mean, they're not speaking anymore, but the author of this book has been inspired by God, and God is still speaking through the pages of this book. Here's what Hebrews 4, 12 through 13 says. In fact, I'm going to have you guys read this aloud with me together. You guys did it so well the last time. You guys feeling good? You guys are all warmed up? Ready? Go. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, I don't know about you, but that scripture both excites me and terrifies me. You feel the same way when you read a scripture like that? It excites me because God's word is alive, but it terrifies me to this reality that nothing I do is outside of the purview of God, that he sees and knows all things about me. He knows everything about us. And God's word is living and active. It's able to discern even our thoughts, even the intentions of our hearts. And I'll tell you something, friend. We have a God that knows those things about us. He knows not only what we do, but he knows our thoughts. Even before those words roll off of our lips, he knows them. And we believe that this book is the very word of God, and that through the pages of Scripture, we find our identity. We find out who the Creator God has made us to be and what he has made us to do. See, God's word is alive. Can I get an amen? It's alive. And some of us treat this book like it's dead. We put it on the shelf and just allow it to collect dust. But this word is alive. God wants to speak to us. But we've got to be willing to open up this word and get into this word and allow this word to get into us. See, this book is not just leather. It's not just dead trees. It's not just ink. It's God's living word. But sometimes we don't look at it that way. It's living and active. Say those words with me. Living and active. It's living. It's breathing to us. It's speaking to us. It's active if we will allow God's word to be active in our life, just like a sword that can separate the bone marrow. I mean, think about that. What does it say? It says, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow. God wants to use his word to penetrate deeply into our souls, to penetrate deeply into our hearts. It's living and active. See, this book shows us who we are and who God has made us to be. I'll tell you something. Throughout my time in walking with Jesus Christ, there's been so many occasions where as I've come to God's word and gotten into a habit, I've tried to cultivate a habit of reading God's word and not just reading it and be like, that was cool. but actually saying, okay, God, what do you want to speak to me today? What is the truth that you want to speak to me to set me up? Because some of us have a wrong idea that God is trying to set us up to fail. The reality is that God wants to set you up to win. He wants to set you up with everything you're going to need tomorrow, today. And if we will cultivate a habit of saying, God, what is it that you have for me? I'm always amazed that as I will go through an experience, there's something that happens that's outside of my control. God has already set me up. As I've cultivated this discipline of coming to his living and active word, that I will find, I'll look back in my journal and be like, man, God was setting me up for weeks for this. I didn't know it was coming, but God did. See, so very often we need to do that. We need to allow God to speak to us. In fact, our next series, we're going to start next week. We're going to start talking about how we hear from God through the pages of Scripture, how we develop those healthy habits to hear from him. See, but we've got to come to this book and allow God to speak to us because he wants to. God wants to speak. It says the word of God is living and active. This book is able, it's sharper than any shorter knife. In fact, I usually have a pocket knife. I don't even have a knife with me right now, so I can't even pull it out. But this book is sharper than the sharpest knife. Some of you guys like to sharpen your knives. You got those steels. I love watching chefs use those steels. You ever see a chef, they're like, and I'm like, they're going to cut their hand off. But they know how to use them. They know how to sharpen those things. And I don't know how to do those. I have a different sharpener that's a lot easier. It's for amateurs like me. But the reality is that God wants to use his word to speak something to us. He wants to use his word to set us up to win. But we've got to come to God's word. We've got to do those things. So we are biblical. We trust that God's word speaks to all of life. This is not just some dead book, but his word is alive. And his word alone is the basis for what we teach and what we believe about God. Now, there's a place for our experiences, but we don't form a theology around experience. We don't understand God based on our experiences. We come to God's word and say, God, what does your word say? So our second core teaching value this morning, if you're taking notes, is that we are equipping. We are equipping. Both through our community groups and our preaching and teaching, we're committed to equipping believers with the information they need to bring about a transformation in their world. See, as a church family, we are committed to equipping you to become all that God has created you to be. With this understanding that you are not going to be just like me. You're not going to be just like the person sitting to your left or to your right. That God has a unique call and a unique purpose for you and for your life. Some of the husbands and wives are like elbowing each other. Yeah, you're not like me. See, but that's exactly what God has called us to do. Now, I was actually at a meeting with pastors, and one of the guest speakers came, and he asked this question. He said, if someone came into your church that was different, that was gifted differently than you, would the ministry of your church equip them to become all that God had made them to be? And this is the $64,000 question, right? I know it would be a lot more money now, but this is the big question. How do we equip people, different people, people with different experiences and backgrounds to become the whole people that God has made them to be? And I believe Ephesians 4 is our key in understanding that we need to equip each one of us. I need the influence of apostles in my life, of prophets in my life, of evangelists and shepherds and teachers to give me these different perspectives on what matters to God. We've got to not just allow those things, not just say, yeah, it's great that you've got a different gift from me, but to fully embrace them. To say, you know what, my perspective is maybe more apostolic leaning, but yours is more shepherding leaning. You care about people and want to slow down, and I want to go really fast and get there. This is my wife and I, by the way. I'm always, all right, kids, in the car, let's go. We got to get to the place we're going. We got to be there early. And my wife's like, yeah, but everyone needs a sweatshirt, and we got to make sure we got snacks for the car. She's much more caring. My children need a mother like her, because they've got a father like me. And I love how God has coupled us as a couple in that way, that he's given me strength in my wife that I don't have. And the same is true in the body of Christ. The same is true in the family of God. We need people with those different strengths to complement one another. So here's what the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. So as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Again, you can go back to that metaphor of those, the sharpening blade, and I wish I brought mine, but I didn't. And that's okay. But we're made to walk together. We're made to rub shoulders with one another because we need one another. And that's one of our shepherding values, is that we want to walk together. But it spreads over to our teaching values as well, because you may be the smartest kid on the block. You may have a brain big enough that you can't even fit through the doorway. But the reality is that we need each other, because what we're interested in our faith and following Jesus is not just information, but transformation. See, the Bible does not tell us that God so loved the world that he sent a book. The Bible doesn't say God so loved the world that he sent some information. You know, he flew an airplane low overhead and dropped leaflets down. God didn't so love the world that he gave us information. God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus. That he incarnated himself and walked among us and showed us what it's like to walk with other people. Because the reality is that the information about God is great, and our teachers give us information, but our teachers also encourage us to walk out what God has revealed to us. To not just have information, but allow it to become transformation. To not just allow us to be the people of good knowledge, but to be the people that share good news with the world. And we do want to strive for excellence in what we think about God. And sometimes our thought life needs to be changed. But the reality is that Jesus was not interested so much in that. He wanted to see our whole lives transformed. He didn't just focus on the outside or in the middle. He wanted to transform us from the inside out, starting with the way we think, but working its way out in the way we walk, in the way we live, in the way we love. See, we are to use our freedom not as an opportunity for evil, but that we might serve one another in love. That's what God's word says. See, a knife sharpener is important because, you know, if I had a knife is not going to get sharp just by thinking about how to get sharp. If my knife sits in front of my computer and watches a video on YouTube on how to sharpen knives, it's not going to get any sharper. I can download a knife sharpening app on my iPhone for my knife, and it's not going to make it any sharper. You get the idea. The only thing that makes my knife sharper is to apply some friction, is to put steel on steel, is to use those honing stones to start carving away the rough edges on the blade of my knife. That's the only way you sharpen a knife. You can't sharpen a knife just by having a good idea of how to sharpen a knife. You've got to actually put metal on metal. And that's exactly what God says of us. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So one woman sharpens another. That's how we grow. That's how we equip one another, is by walking together. See, I cannot fulfill or walk out the commands of God watching a podcast at home by myself. Now, I may grow informationally, but for me to apply God's word, for me to do that, I've got to walk in community. I've got to allow my shoulders to rub shoulders with other people, because let me just tell you, people are messy. We talked about that last week, but people are messy. And sometimes that's where God is able to do those things. See, sharpening happens when we rub shoulders with other people. And there's a reason that we teach from God's word with me when we gather together and when we scatter in our community groups. It's because God's word is living and active. We talked about that. But here's what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Say those words with me. Breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable. It's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Do you want to be equipped for every good work that God sets before you? Do you want to be ready for all that God is calling your life to be about? Then you've got to come to his word. You've got to allow God's word to speak to us. That's the truth. See, this book is not just a good story, but it is the tool by which God sharpens us. It's the tool by which God shapes our lives, shapes our worldview, shapes our thoughts, shapes our desires. as we will come to it and walk with other people. See, this book is not just a good story, but I love what the scripture says, that it's literally been breathed out by God. See, the words that I'm sounding out have been breathed out of my mouth, but God says these words were breathed out of my mouth. These words were God-breathed. And I want to be equipped for all that God has for me. I've got to get into this book and allow it to get into me. See, the Bible says of itself that it alone will equip us for every good work. How many of you like to be ready? Now, I want to give you a scenario. Maybe you've gone through this. You wake up groggy-eyed and you look over and you realize you slept through your alarm. Does this ever happen to you? Maybe you're late. And you realize, I'm supposed to be wherever it is right about now. Some of you felt like that coming to church sometimes, I know. And so what do? You're like, well, I don't have time to take a shower. Maybe I could brush my teeth and quickly comb my hair, or just throw on some clothes and run out the door. You ever have those kind of mornings? And then Tanya's like, nope, never me. I'm always early. Well, maybe that's just me. But if you ever have one of those mornings, you know, like you get somewhere and you just feel gross. You feel like you're not ready. Like, man, did I brush my teeth? Man, I really should have shaved. Man, I wish I would have got to change this shirt. The shirt has a stain on it. I didn't realize because I got ready in 3 seconds. You know, you're just not ready. Maybe I'm just showcasing my fears. I don't know. Or maybe you had this experience. Maybe that's not you. Maybe it's like a Saturday morning and you've slept in. I'm talking to those of you without small kids because we never get to sleep in. But you sleep in and you're in your jammies and you're hanging out around the house and all of a sudden you're ding dong. Someone rings the doorbell and your hair's all a mess. Still in your jammies. You still got your coffee breath. See, if it's me, I'm just going to hide. But sometimes you got to answer the door. It's a UPS guy or someone you got to answer for. I hate the feeling of being unprepared. Don't you? Do you guys hate those feelings? Again, maybe I'm just confessing my fears to you. I don't know. See, God wants you to be equipped and ready. He doesn't want you to go through life just like that. See, some of us can experience, we know what that feels like. Man, I hate that. I hate being unprepared. But God says, I want you to be prepared for everything that life throws your way. See, I have this problem. I do. I've got a vision problem. Some of you guys don't know that about me, but I have a lack of sight in that I can see fine here, but I can't see the future. Do you guys have that problem too? I'm totally blind to what's around the corner. I can only see what's in front of me. This is a really big problem in my life, and I think all of us have this limitation. And the reality is that while we don't know what the future holds, we have a God who is above and beyond our time, that knows our future, that knows our beginning and our end. He knows the trials and the challenges and the hardships you're going to go through tomorrow, even before you do. And here's the deal. We have a God that doesn't set us up for failure, but he wants to set us up for victory. He wants to set us up for the win. He wants to, as our scripture said, equip us for every good work. But we have to be willing to create a spiritual discipline in our life to listen, to make room for God to speak to us. Because if we do, God will set us up to win. What does our scripture tell us that his word is there to do? God has given us his word to teach us, to teach us. See, we trust that God's ways are the right ways. Learning to respond as God would have us respond. The second thing that God's word teaches us, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, is he's given us his word to reprove and correct us. But we have to be willing to submit ourselves to God to say, God, you know what? I was really thinking about doing this, but your word says I shouldn't do that. So I'm conflicted. I kind of want to do it my way, right? Because I kind of like my way. It's comfortable. It's what I like to do. But God, your word says to do something else. So I've got to be willing to allow God's word to correct my life, to reprove me, to say, nope, that's not the right way. And as a guy who, I took in Strength Finders test, one of my highest Strength Finders is I'm a self-assured. I'm self-confident in the decisions I make. So when I come to God's word, I'm like, but God, I've thought out this idea. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, God. I like my idea. I've really thought it through. I've used the brain you gave me, God. Pretty sure this is the right way. And then I come to his word. I have to be willing to say, you know what, God? I trust your way. I want to allow your word to correct me. And see, this is the reality. We've got to correct back to the source. And God's word has to be the source in our lives. Wayne Cordero, in one of his books, shares a story of a time when he was a kid, and his dad asked him to help to cut some wood for a fence. They were building a fence. And so, you know, being a smart, self-assured kid, he knew what to do, kind of like me. He knew what to do, and so he got out his tape measure, and he measured the first board and cut it off. And then he got the first board he had cut, and he went to the second board, and he measured it, set it down, and cut it off. And then he grabbed the second board and went to the third board and measured it and cut it off. And then he grabbed that third board, and so on down the way. Now, you can imagine what might have happened. He got to the end of his cutting and realized that, man, these things kept getting smaller and smaller as he went along. And he learned a lesson. The lesson was that you've got to correct back to the source. We've got to go back to the source to realize that God has a source for our lives. And we have to allow this book to be the measuring rod of our lives. See, had he used his tape measure over and over again, it would have taken a little bit longer, but it would have been correct. And sometimes we have gotten different measuring sticks to measure our lives. How well am I doing? I'm going to compare myself to the guy sitting next to me, to my next door neighbor. See, I'm better than him. But God says this is to be our measuring rod. This is to be the standard bearer of our lives. And my hope and prayer is that as a follower of Jesus, that I would be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. That I would be more like Jesus Christ tomorrow than I am today. And that takes being intentional, and that takes saying, God, I want to be teachable. I want to learn not just from the good things, but help me to learn from all situations. See, my job as a pastor is never just to teach, but it's also to be teachable, to allow God to continue to coach and correct and reprove my own heart. And that's all of our role, is to allow God to speak to us, to correct us. But it takes humility. It takes a willingness to say, God, you know what? I have that blindness problem. I don't see tomorrow. I don't know what's best for my life because all I can see is what's directly in front of me. But you know what's around the bend. You know in advance what I will need tomorrow. So God, I want to do what you want. So God's word will correct and rebuke us. It'll also train us. It'll train us. But we have to allow his word to train us. And there's times and seasons where I need to train myself. Just like I hate to compare myself to a dog, but when I was training my dog, I had to repeat things to him and her. I've got two dogs, and one of them obeys all right. One of them not so much. I won't say which is which, but there are seasons where I had to repeat things, and the same is true in our lives. We need to remind ourselves of truths that we believe, things that we hold deep. And there's times and seasons where I struggle with worry. Now, you could struggle with a number of things. Maybe you're struggling with pride, or you're struggling with fear, or you're struggling with some sort of other false worship. You're lusting after something that's inappropriate for you and your season of life. But there's times when I worry, and I need to remind myself of a scripture like Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And there's times and seasons where I've got to take God's word and not just say, oh, that was cool, I'm going to underline that and then close it, but I've got to take it and put it in my pocket and walk around with it and pull it out throughout the day and remind myself, don't be anxious, but instead present your request to God. Because in my anxiousness, I don't solve any problems, but in talking to God, I solve not only my problems, but I still my heart. I calm my angst, my anxiety, and my nerves. And there's moments in our lives when we need to train ourselves with God's word. We need to do just that. We need to take a scripture and memorize it, or jot it down and put it in our pocket. Woo! Or jot it down and put it on our steering wheel when we're having to talk about patience when we're driving. Or whatever it is, we've got to put those things where we can see them. And we've got to do those things. To be fully equipped from God, we've got to come to God's word. And we've got to allow other people to equip us. We've got to allow other people to teach us and to train us. That's my hope and that's my prayer for you, is that as we lean on the influence of our teachers among us, that we would be a biblical church family, that we would be a church that was rooted and grounded on God's word, but we would be rooted and grounded on this idea that we need a move of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we conclude our time in prayer?